I find consistency in requests, then we'll just pull the root from the person. Because, you know, this opportunity shouldn't replace anything else that you're currently overseeing. This opportunity is to essentially spread any operator who has multiple locations even thinner, if they have the ability to be spread thin. And so I think the reality is every person who has interest in this opportunity should evaluate their personal lives and their abilities to maintain the roles and responsibilities that will be laid out in the coming days, and be able to identify if this is something that they can do long term or not. But if you have a situation where you need to leave out of town, or, you know, or something of an emergency, which I would say would have to obviously be for the week, because there's, you know, 5 days in the week. So obviously, if you can't make that one day, then I'm assuming that you'd be out for the week. I want to be notified, and then we'll keep track, and then you'll just have to obviously follow up. One thing I will make clear is field reps will not be running routes in lieu of any operator absence. So this is not something a field rep will be doing in place of any anybody and that chooses to take on this option.
Anyone else? Questions? Comments? All right. Go ahead.
I'm gonna Frank, one quick comment or question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna assume quarterly payment. Or
no, it shouldn't be quarterly. I don't want it to be quarterly. I'm hoping for payments 45 days, like to align with how we receive payments from Pepsi. Essentially, 5 days from the time we receive payment, I'd like to see payments going out to you all. But I can't give a hard confirmation yet, because I need to work with fiscal to ensure that they agree with the time frame in which I'm requesting. So I'm working on that, and that will be outlined in that document as well next week. So I don't know. I'm shooting for 45 days is my point.
Brandy with a question about spending. Will we have to make a business entity to collect these commissions, or can we collect them under our already existing business entity? Meaning, like, so I have the Sandcastle Grill. Can I collect the commissions underneath that name, or do I need to make a separate name and collect them under that name?
I would say I should be able to collect them in the same. Let me think about it, and I'll include that in my write-up as well. Because, you know, the one thing is, with it being a pilot, it's kind of like you don't really want to do all that legwork to identify that this isn't for you. You know what I mean? Like, so I think if you already have an existing business within the program, I'm of the mindset you can just include it in your existing business. But let me take that offline and figure it out.
Follow up to that question too. Would that whether you do it under your business entity or not, is it a separate business report?
I know the one thing that I'm really honing on is the audit reports. I would say those audit reports would be the responsibility of just identifying your responsibilities. But as far as the commission payment, I would say for now you can include it in your existing business report under the commission section until we identify if this is going to be permanent, or I find that information doesn't align with your ability to include everything under your existing business. But I would say if everything is the way I'm thinking it can be, you can include the commissions right on your monthly business report.
And that, the most important part is that it's being logged properly. Like you're giving your business report to your field rep with the proper revenues you're receiving and any expenses you have, and then, you know, paying your taxes at the end of the year. So as long as it's logged properly, that's the most important thing. Whether it's on one report or two is, you know, a secondary question. But as long as you're doing the right thing. follow up to what Shelley mentioned about, you know, the routes that were presented to me came like already as routes. I didn't know what part we were, what stage we were at, whether I should have seen the whole master list myself to pick a place. So when they say the Hartford route, the Hartford route's already, you know, the locations are already there, you know, and that particular route doesn't meet up to the $20,000. So does the operator then have a chance to go to the master list and say, well, you know, if there's two places in Meriden, I can, I'm making up that city. I have no idea if it's even on the list. I'm just saying, if there's another town in Connecticut that I'm able to get to, can I, you know, I might have the Hartford route, but can I go get another location or two to bump myself up to the 20,000, even though it's not, you know, like what constitutes that's your route and that's all you can do? Or, yeah, I'm trying not to be confusing, but.
Yeah, no. No, I got you, Keith. No, so, you know, my thought is this, right? So when we looked at these proposed routes, some people's routes were at 15,000, others were at 22, which I think 22 is going to be fine, because I think when you divide the simple math, you divide the 200,000 by 9. I think we already looked at this. Tracy and I just talked about, I think it was 22,222,222 or something like that. So those are fine. So in the case of, like, for example, you're saying 15,000 or is, you know, is Hartford, I'm not dividing the opportunity based off of the dollar amount established routes. I'm dividing the opportunity based off of operator interest. So what I mean by that is, if we're allotting $200,000 and we're dividing it by 9 and you're allotted $22,000, then Keith, if your location has 15,000, you still have 7,000 you can earn. So you can certainly go back to your field rep and say, all right, show me the list. I want to pick up my additional 7,000. I'm not taking the 7,000 that your current list doesn't offer and divvying it up amongst the 8 individuals for greater. That's not it, because I understand that these routes and the creation of these routes were challenging for some, and for some it wasn't. The inner cities are very difficult. In particular, when we talk about Hartford, we have several operators in Hartford who already, you know, retain commissions from some of the larger state buildings, such as yourself. And so with that, you know, those locations were immediately excluded from opportunities. So then it becomes, well, there's a lot of locations, but they're not, you know, they may not be high dollar amount locations and so forth, but they're, you know, they're in a location in which I'm capable of getting to. So it makes sense for this dollar amount. But certainly once you develop your comfort with your existing, or even, you know, as soon as the end of this call, if you want to reach out to your field rep, and this goes for any operator who maybe did not reach the 20,000 mark right now, but I don't think there's many. Anyhow, you can, you know, certainly talk about the other possible opportunities. You know, my goal my suggestion is that, you know, tread lightly in the beginning to ensure you don't burn yourself out on taking things in which sounds good on paper, and, you know, maybe that first dry run on whatever time you decided to do it at, you know, it seemed okay. Like, just slowly walk into the opportunity to ensure that this is something that is comfortable for you for the long haul, because ultimately that's the goal, is to take this pilot opportunity to make it permanent. So I don't want people burning themselves out just because they're trying to, you know, maximize their opportunity, and logistically makes absolutely no sense, you know, in which they're trying to cover. So that's really my only suggestion.
Picture doing your route in the snow.
Exactly. That's the truth. Absolutely. Yep.
This is Brady with a comment to everything I get. So the route that was made for me, mine is actually 70 miles one way. So I feel like it's a matter of what you're willing to do in some cases, and mine's not a big money-making route. So logistically, it's going to cost me $5,000 a year just to have somebody drive me to it. But in the long term, it's a good opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be able to find other ones along the way in the future that maybe we can add when we expand the program. But point, Keith, about can you go to, like, other places? Because there's a lot of you guys in Hartford, so it makes it really hard, where I'm out here by myself. But even still, my route is 70 miles from my house. One way. You know, it's a 70-mile one-way thing to get to my furthest point and then to the next point and then the next points after that. So I think there's definitely opportunities based on seeing that you could build to make it to 20,000 if you want. But like Tyrell said, I mean, there's nothing wrong with 15 or something similar along those lines. He's just trying not to spend over 200,000. And then to Shelley's question, I think she's asking more like, okay, so if we can't get authorization to get in this building, you're willing to help us try to find something else. But we're also saying we will try to help you find something else along there, but it may not. You may have to go 10 more miles out to get something that equals that same amount for the building you can't get into.
Yeah.
So that's just, I guess, my two cents. And as to, like, the opportunities, like, as being out here in the sticks, I've had less opportunities and less chances to take things than other people because, again, I'm so far away from everything. And I've been very lucky to be able to take the opportunities because I have my mom to help me out and stuff like that, and my kids now. So I know that I'm very lucky, but I think that the Ubers also have a program. You can do, like, a rideshare program. And if you have a constant route that you're always taking and stuff like that, Uber will work with you to give you a flat rate to do such a thing, too. It's a new program that they're rolling out that is actually geared towards the visually impaired riders.
Nice.
Just an FYI on that, too. So,
thanks.
Hopefully that can help people expand their routes further.
Good information, yeah. Brandy. Thank you.
Dave Pelagi, I have a question.
Yes, sir, Dave.
Like, now I do the New Haven post office route, and I get, like, a direct check from Servonation. I work with Servonation. Will this be the same way you'll get, like, a check from Pepsi or Servonation?
No, Dave, this is going to be, this is our strategic way around to be able to provide this and maintain the statewide vending contract. The checks will come similar to, like, a commission from our agency. So
comptroller.
Okay. Funds will be deposited into our program's account, and then in turn, we'll create invoices and have them paid out to you. So it'll be a comptroller's deposit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody good? All right, then we'll move on to the next thing on the agenda, which is the Danbury Federal Correction update.
All right. So last time we spoke, we talked about Danbury Federal Correction and the potential opportunity for a vending route opportunity within Danbury. Several emails were sent out by myself to kind of just get contact and get some communication going in regards to letting know of our program's interest. And it finally did stick with a couple people over at Danbury Federal. Myself and Tracy had a conference call with the correction secretary, warden secretary, but she also is a part, I believe, of the employees club within the corrections. And we got a lot of valuable information, which I think might have identified why we've waived this location in prior years multiple times, because it is a very, what appears to be a difficult opportunity. So essentially, the employees club within the prison oversees the vending machines. I think there's 17 machines in total on the grounds of Danbury Federal, which houses male and female inmates on different, I believe, facilities on the grounds. Majority of the vending machines in place are food vending machines, surprisingly. And this information was obtained by, like I said, in communications with the employee club member, who stated Fairfield Vending is the current operator servicing the account. They're extremely pleased with Fairfield Vending, and in fact, Fairfield Vending is actually one of our subcontractors for our statewide vending contract. So we already have an established relationship with the owner there. So I was able to reach out to Darren, he's the owner of Fairfield, and kind of try to get a little information in regards to the process and the roles and responsibilities required to maintain this account. There's obviously, as you all can imagine, very strict security measures in place. A lot of background checks and so forth, that's expected. However, this is a 7-day-a-week operation servicing the account. Darren did send me a brief outline of the roles and responsibilities, and I did give Darren the heads up that, you know, this location would be out for a site survey opportunity to retain in our program. In addition, I made Danbury Federal Correction aware of our interest to resuming the vending. One thing for certain is any operator who may have interest in partnering, and I would strongly suggest you would want to stick with Darren and Fairfield Vending for several reasons, will be required to be flexible. This, you know, obviously the roles and responsibilities that are required to maintaining this opportunity would be assisting servicing this account, and with that, that would be filling a couple of machines. In speaking with Darren, he said there would be a strong need for fills on Saturdays. Right now, the requirements are so demanding that he's hired two of the correctional officers to assist part of the employees club to assist in filling the machines. He has an inventory that he keeps on hand at the location, and which allows these members to maintain the levels of supplies or food items for 7 days. Because these machines are placed in the visiting room, they get a lot of action. Yeah. And it requires a lot of responsibility. So should any operator look to want this opportunity, and I will send something out, you know, they must be prepared to obviously go through background checks, understand that, you know, that you will be in the population of inmates to assist in servicing the account. And, you know, there's going to be roles and responsibilities behind it. So, in the next coming weeks, I will send out something once I gather just a little bit more information to offer this as a potential opportunity. Now, should we not get anyone to accept this opportunity, then we'll have to go back to the drawing table and see what we can do. It's a very interesting location, and the let's just say that if we do take this opportunity, there will be. There'll be some animosity, I think, within our program, towards our program, from the employees club. But I think, you know, we can maybe maintain a cordial relationship to ensure that we can get the support that we need to tend to these or service this account should we have an operator that has interest. But I'll provide much more detail in the coming weeks as to the opportunity and the roles and responsibilities behind it.
All right. Anybody have any questions on that topic?
One quick question. This is Frank. You had mentioned in the prior meeting every safety precaution will be taken and accounted for, and now you're kind of saying that the blind operator would be in the population of where inmates would be. Is that at all a concern that a blind operator would have to be in a room with inmates? Or
I think the reality is this: now gathered, having the information and understanding the placement of the vending machines and not having that prior meeting, it's a decision that an operator is going to have to make on their own as to their level of comfort. Now, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone, and I don't know, you know, things are sealed, but I haven't heard anything in the past where, you know, anyone was attacked from the servicing. Not to say that that couldn't be a possibility, but that's all things that someone who may have interest may have to consider. You know, I'll gather a little bit more information as to if there's any security presence.
Hold on. I can tell you for a fact, there's no way you are walking unescorted into a public, into a prison. No way. Like, no way. You will be escorted by an officer the entire time. You will not be unescorted inside a prison. Never, ever, ever, ever. Not for the fact of your security, but what you could be bringing in to give to people and so on and so forth. There's no way, and you would definitely have to have clearance to do so.
Correct. And I would say this too. I mean, being escorted by security doesn't necessarily, and again, maybe for some, doesn't remove the fact of fear, right? I mean, okay, so you're with one guy and you're amongst 50 inmates. You know what I mean? Like you're still okay. So now it's 2 against 50. I mean, I think the reality is yes, you will always be escorted, but I think it's your own individual and personal, you know, decision as to your level of comfort. Another thing to consider is when they have lockdowns, that you will be part of that lockdown. So that's a reality. And so what that essentially means is, you know, you might have a responsibility that takes you an hour. And then if they have a lockdown, you might be there for 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever the case may be, because they don't just let individuals out on lockdowns. Everyone in every area will have to stay there until the lockdown is removed. So these are some things that I'll identify, and then you take the information and, you know, you kind of digest it to make the determination if it's something for you or not. But the thing is, I got to get clarification. I think there might only be one machine pre checkpoint, security checkpoint. But speaking with Darren, he says there's a strong need of assistance, you know, obviously servicing other areas beyond that checkpoint. So it's just something to think about.
All right. Then we can move on to the Darien train station coffee snack location.
Yeah, so I sent you all the committee this possible potential opportunity. I'm hoping that you all read it. I didn't get any questions back, so I'm essentially just looking for a voter determination as to how we want to proceed with this location.
I read that proposal. I don't think we had any numbers on what it does, but the responsibilities are there's a lot. you're cleaning toilets. Once I read that, I personally don't care to be cleaning toilets, you know, with the whole COVID thing going around still. But I mean, that's not for me to determine what other operators would want to do. But I think based on whatever money it does make, the amount of responsibilities, you're pretty much in charge of that whole building. Trash, you know, it's not just the coffee stand. It's the whole train terminal, from what it sounded like to me.
Correct. I mean, they're both small train stations. However, the roles and responsibilities kind of truly altered, or seem like the main focus of providing coffee was essentially not the main focus. It seemed like maintenance duties superseded the offering of coffee. It's a very, very small location. Everything was centralized right in the hallway. Your stand was basically drilled into the wall and comes down, like, you know, it was like a very old setup. And when I went there, there was absolutely no one in the building, not one. I mean, the parking lot's packed, but again, your most of your transportation, your travelers are traveling at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. to the city. So, you know, your window of business opportunity is at two points, and there's nothing in between it. It's either, you know, 6 a.m. to maybe 8 a.m., and then you might, you know, if you choose to stay all day, then you might grab something at 4, you know, 4 to 6 or what have you. So, you know, it did not appear at all financially viable. There is a $400 a month payment to the town of Darien. And then in addition to that, what was something else that didn't Yeah, I think it was just the roles and responsibilities, and I just didn't see any money. The prior operator did not choose to resume. So that's what we have.
Any committee members with a questions or comments?
I agree with Keith.
If nobody has any questions or comments, we could move it to a vote if somebody wants to make a motion for or against.
I make a motion, Brandy. I make a motion to pass on the Darien train station.
While retaining any vending rights?
Exactly, if so.
While retaining any vending rights? Sorry, thank you.
Yeah. Can I get a second on that?
Dave Pelagi, I'll second it.
Perfect. Motion made by Brandy, seconded by Dave Pelagi to waive our rights to the Darien train station and keeping our rights to vending. All those in any further discussion on that? We have a motion on the floor. Hearing none, all those in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? And the motion carries. And that brings us to Community College micro market updates.
All right. Since last speaking, we've got Quinnebaug up and running. Rich took that location over. The college is very satisfied with our presence. We did reduce product down significantly during this period as the semester is over. However, we will anticipate to resume the level of expectation in the coming fall. In addition, Keith, you're taking Middlesex. We're looking forward to that. They're looking forward to it. And so that will be up and ready for fall semester as well. So those are two pluses. I did leave off CampNet, but we're working on that. Brandy's been involved in working with Tracy, and Tracy's been working with them. And we anticipate, I don't know when we anticipate the start date for that one, but we have a couple mixed dates. But anyway, we're heading in the right direction. We're just looking for some sign-offs, or I should say CampNet's looking for some budgetary sign-offs to get the location prepared for our existence. So all in all, that's all good news. And I think, you know, one thing I'm happy about is, you know, operators identifying their abilities to stretch themselves at this time. I think it's important to realize that yesterday was yesterday and tomorrow we don't know, but today's today. And the fact that many of you, you know, and I include those that have the interest in the vending routes, have, you know, realized that there's a need and that you all have the ability to stretch yourselves is good. And you guys should all feel good about that. You know, a dollar's a dollar, a nickel's a nickel, whether, you know, it's getting put in your hand by the bank teller or you're picking it up off the ground, it's a nickel. And so when you carry the mindset of understanding the value of a dollar and not, you know, pigeonholing yourselves to thinking that you can only do or this is the only opportunity for you, you'll start to see some light at the end of the tunnel. And I think all of you are starting to see some light, or you will recognize it and realize shortly that there is light at the end of the tunnel when you look back and compare your overall figures to your one role and one responsibility, maybe in your, we call prior life, right, 3 years ago. You know, you're going to realize that you really did climb out of the hole. It might have taken more effort in your part, but it's a balancing act. So, you know, there might be more being requested from you individually, but on the flip side, you know, Keith and I, we've had this conversation. You don't have the employees, you don't have that type of headache. So, you know, you're going to maintain challenges, but they're going to be different headaches. But that's what's going to be necessary for you to pick up financially where you either left off or exceed where you left off. And I think a lot of you have identified your ability to do so. So I applaud you all for your interest in that. So just want to say that.
All right. That brings us up to field rep responsibilities.
Field rep responsibilities. So field reps, you know, at this time, they remain responsible for supporting each and every one of you, just like they did pre-pandemic. You know, I think nothing has changed in regards to that. If anything has changed, what you're doing has changed, and which essentially changes what a field rep's responsibility is to supporting you. But the roles and the expectations is strictly to support you, as well as taking a